Well, we're sort of live this morning. Kind of, sort of. Not really. Sort of. Kind of. They're doing it again. It's the news, according to me. Yeah, good morning. It is Friday morning, 8:41 a.m. Friday, March 10th, 2023. If you want to hear the live, I was live on Rumble this morning. I wasn't live on Podbean. I was live on Rumble. And apparently there was some audio issues there. So I had to redo things. And in the process of doing all that, I did not have an audio recording of the first part of the show. Now I could go over to Rumble and I could just record the audio from the show. I could do all that. However, I think it'd be easier for me just to do an intro here, and then we'll just get, you didn't lose much of the first part of the show, other than, you know, I have vanilla chai in my cup. I have vanilla creamer in there. And then I also have a backup thermos with my tea. Now you know everything you need to know, and then you can move on with your life. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and cut into where I finally got the audio started recording for the show. Didn't really miss a whole lot. The basics part of the show is talking about the whole January 6th thing, the video with Tucker Carlson, as well as the issue with the FBI and the trial. At the end of it, I talk about more about the trial that's going on, which is the bombshell information. It's just unbelievable what this FBI agent did. Accidentally gave the defense a whole bunch more information than what she intended. And it is very, very condemning towards the FBI and what they're doing in the background behind the scenes to get this guy. They're setting him up. It should be on every talk show this from now through next month. It's pathetic. It's as bad as Peter Strzok. And that guy should not be on, given any credibility on any newscast show anywhere. But guess where he is? MSNBC and CNN. All because he was an anti-Trumper. The guy was degrading his job, just totally disgusting. And here we are. He's got a job now, full-time job, getting paid who knows how much from CNN or MSNBC or wherever he's at as a contributor. Of course, they'll let him go. They'll throw him to the side when the time comes. But he's still given credibility by those people, which just amazes me, somebody who does something like that. So here we go. We have this is the show. I'm going to put it in here. I've got the rest of it recorded. We'll just throw it in behind this. And enjoy, folks. Have a great weekend, and hope you enjoy the show. And we're going to get the whole thing done. I'm going to capture it starting now, so it's going to be kind of screwy for those of you listening on live. It's starting in right now with a live show. The interesting part about the whole thing with the FBI, I've got another bombshell happening with the FBI, and nobody's talking about it. I wish I had the audio clips to show you this, because there's no audio. It's all transcript stuff. I wish I even had the transcripts to read to you, but I do not have that right now, mostly because I am incompetent as a director, apparently. I wish I had a team of people. What I need is a couple of interns. So if you're out there and you want to be an intern for me, let me know. The problem with being an intern for this show would be I would have to have you, like, get stuff for me right now. And that's not going to happen. I know how interns are these days. No, I don't know any personally, but I just know how they are. I know how kids are. I guess you wouldn't have to be a kid to be an intern. Doesn't necessarily imply that you're a young kid. You could be an intern and not be a young kid, I guess. You could be an old fart or just an old person. You wouldn't have to be a fart necessarily, but you could be, you know what I'm saying. The most interesting thing about what has happened recently. Now, there's still stuff going on. The whole Tucker Carlson thing is interesting. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we have this issue with the FBI. And I'm surprised. I mean, somebody really needs to jump on this. Somebody from a major news network. Robert Gouveia. I always listen to him about every day. He's got a little show on YouTube. Since I've got video this morning, I might be able to actually put this up here on the screen. Let's see if I can do this. I'm going to put up the video or the YouTuber, see if I can find at least a screen clip of this guy I'm going to, okay, I've got the audio off for that, so that's okay. I can just bring this up, and I'm going to go to his site, Robert Gouveia. He calls it Watching the Watchers. The actual name of his thing here, I'm going to see if I can pull it up on my, because this might actually look okay. Yeah, this might be okay. I'm going to pull it up on the screen. The, see if I can go to this. This is, hopefully you can still hear me. Yeah, I guess you can. The, this is Watching the Watchers here. This is, Robert Gouveia. He is, he's an attorney, but he's left his law firm that I think he helped start. I think he actually left the law firm. This is like a side business that has turned into his full business now. And he is excellent. He's been, I think he's actually been on some television programs occasionally, gotten some airtime, mostly I think locally, but I think he also, when there's cases out in Arizona, he really got involved with this whole thing during the election, or actually during COVID. The 2020 election really kind of launched his whole YouTube channel. He does an excellent job of putting facts together, reading case law, and following politicians. And he's really going after some of these people. He's got a really good, he's just a very sharp mind. He's very quick with those things. And I think that it's important, I think, to have people like this around out there in the public. And the guy is so down to earth. He's just, you know, he talks to his listeners. He has conversations with people who in his chat rooms and stuff. He's got all kinds of things going on locals and everything else. Very good resource of information that we need right now. And the understanding of the law, understanding navigating all this stuff that's going on. One of the biggest things happening that he kind of dissected recently was this whole thing with the trial that's going on right now with the J6 perpetrators, you want to call them that, the defendants in the J6 trial. I think they're representing four or five, maybe six people in this whole thing. He's not, but they're the people who are. This whole thing with Tucker Carlson has brought up a whirlwind of issues with the law and the way they have gone after these people, such as Joshua Shenick or whatever his name is, the otherwise known as the QAnon shaman guy. I don't even know if the guy actually was a QAnon guy. They're just calling him that. I don't know that maybe he calls himself that. I don't know. I have no idea. But they've gone after him, and of course they got him. They had him on charges that were way over the top, and he settled basically. I think he actually settled for a plea deal of 4 years in prison. Now his lawyer claims they were trying to get this information. They were trying to get the videos. They were trying to get all this stuff. They submitted for it and never received it. Now, of course, the excuse that the big government folks like to use all the time, is that, well, there's classified information. It's classified information. Can't give you any more information than that because it's all classified. We can't give you too much information. This is where they always go with this stuff. And it's so frustrating because what they're actually doing is they're just hiding behind that all the time, constantly. I mean, 90% of the time they're just hiding behind that. Just like the 40,000 hours or 44,000 hours or whatever it is of video with all the cameras. And they're not just cheap, you know, Walmart cameras that they use around the White House. They're using top-notch, high-definition, high-tech cameras around everything around the Capitol. I guarantee you they spent, you know, $1 billion on cameras around that place. Just to give you an idea. Yesterday I talked a little bit about this, but it's absolutely disgusting. The Department of Justice whoever it is that's going after this, the department that's actually in charge of this J6 thing, has asked for another $37 billion or $38 billion. Billion. To go after these guys. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot of money to be going to prosecute these people. Really? You need that much money? The whole Mueller investigation was like $42 million. I think that what has happened here is they found a new way to get money flowing. See, anytime they can get cash flowing through Washington, they can tap into that. That money can be funneled off into all kinds of organizations, and funding can come from everywhere. All these NGOs, non-government organizations, they've become so skilled at this that they're really good at it now. And they understand, okay, well, all we get to do is get money flowing to this organization. And then what you'll do is you'll establish this little LLC or this little nonprofit over here that the FBI then can hire to do certain things for them. You can be a research institute. Well, the FBI has to hire this facility over here for $500 million to do some research for them. And then, of course, they pay everybody off with $1 million apiece, and then that money then funnels into somebody's campaign. That's how this money gets flown around. Or they can fund Antifa and all kinds of stuff. Now, and I don't doubt at all that there are people at the FBI protecting Antifa groups. I have no doubt. But we'll get into this a little bit more a little bit later. First of all, I want to talk about Colin Kaepernick. Now, I don't get into sports at all. I find the whole thing to be typically very over the top and verbose. And the sport itself is no longer the topic in the sports world. What I see is, they don't talk about the game anymore. It's all about, it's becoming more and more about the superstars, the athletes themselves. I mean, you look at the pre-show, during the show, they're talking about everything else but the show, but the game. It amazes me. It's not about the game anymore. It's about, the personalities involved. Of course, now it's become more political. Thanks to Colin Kaepernick, it's become even more political. Everybody's doing it now. He apparently has written a book, and I guess they're even doing a movie now, got a movie deal now, about his growing up. Now, you have to understand, Colin Kaepernick, I did not know this about Colin. I had no idea. I would never have thought this, but I guess I should have known. He was adopted by guess who? Not a black family, a white family. He was raised in a white family. There is, in his book, and I guess this movie, they show this movie clip of Colin as a young kid. Now, I want to get into this because this is a little bit of a, I have some questions about it. When did the word thug become a racial slur? When did that happen? I used to teach back when I was back in the 80s, early 80s, and all through, well, I guess most of my life, off and on. I have taught things like self-defense and Taekwondo, and I've been a Taekwondo coach for AAU meet. I've been involved in self-defense a lot. And we always used to, back when magazines were a thing, you get Karate and Taekwondo magazine and, all these magazines that were out there. I got all of them. There weren't that many, but I got all of them. Danny Insato and all these people were on the cover all the time doing their thing. And, you know, had Bruce Lee on there. Of course, he was already gone at that point, but Chuck Norris was kind of a big deal back then. Superfoot Wallace, some of those people. Jackie Chan was just starting. He was big in China. He wasn't big here yet back in the 80s. But I would always see, you'd always talk about thugs. The thug was just anybody who was a ne'er-do-well, whatever that means. Somebody who was out to do some harm, a no-gooder. Let's call him that. Somebody who was out to do no good. Someone who was out to harm you. You were approached by a thug. It had nothing to do with the color of their skin. When did this happen? I guess the word that, you know, I think I know how it happened, but I'm not sure. My guess, this is my I'm supposing that it was somehow adopted through rap music. I think it was something that the culture brought upon itself. Started calling themselves thugs. And somehow that got appropriated to, that means you're an African American. It's a racial slur now. How does that happen? You've heard the song, Everything is Awesome. Well, nowadays you would sing that, Everything is Racist. That's pretty much the way that goes. So Colin Kaepernick, now, he plays this big traumatic scene, the biggest traumatic thing that ever happened to him with his parents. His white parents, by the way. White. Ooh, evil. They were raising him, and they said to him, you need to get a haircut. His mom and dad were telling him he needed to get a haircut to look more professional. Shouldn't look like that. Because he was trying to do corn. I guess he was trying to do cornrows. Folks, I'm sorry. I've been to Africa. Okay, I've been to Africa. Cornrows have nothing to do. I've never seen cornrows in Africa. But this is back in the 80s. Maybe they do them now because it's a thing. I don't know where that came from. It's not a cultural thing from Africa. I've been all over Africa. Never saw it back in the 80s. All of a sudden, it's a thing. And it's apparently it's an African-American thing. Because it's not an African thing. So they're doing this. And actually, cornrows were actually, and dreadlocks, actually, it's estimated that prior to dreadlocks becoming a thing, they were actually known very well in, I believe, it was Scandinavia. I think that was the earliest known group of people who had dreadlocks. But that's, who knows? I don't know. So what ends up happening is they say, well, why do I have to have hair like that? Why? You know, it's a typical conversation with kids. I want to grow my hair long. No, you need to cut it off. It needs to be, can't be past your shirt collar. Why? Well, it's because it's the rules. Well, why is it the rule? Why do I have to follow that rule? What's the problem? And his mother says, because you look like a thug. And he's distraught. Oh, I can't believe you'd say that about me. Oh. Because they're racist, of course. Now, I guarantee you, there are plenty of black parents who have said that very thing to their children. Because this is something almost every parent has with their child. You're not going to wear that. Why? Because it makes you look like fill in the blank. I would almost guarantee you most parents have had some kind of conversation along that line with their kids. Why do I have to do this? Why can't I wear this? Why can't I do that? Because it makes you look like this. Because it looks like that. Because it's licentious. Because it's lascivious. Because it makes you look like a whatever. Just saying. Now, I don't remember any time my parents had a conversation like that with me. I can't remember it. I got away with a lot. But I remember having that conversation with my brother. My brother had really long hair. Really long hair. For his graduation picture in his senior year in high school, he had really long hair. Really long. Now, strangely enough, he has long hair again. He's got it, actually got a ponytail in the back. Goes down like the center of his back. He's one of those old guys. He's like 8 years older than me. He's a 70-year-old guy with a ponytail. You know the type. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, but it looks good on him, though. No, he actually does. It's who he is. It's just, I can't imagine him any other way. Now, for me, it would look ridiculous. When, for one, I have no hair on the top of my head. He still has hair. So it makes sense. I'm pretty much, it would look ridiculous. It'd be like a guy with like, you know, the side, like pattern. Yeah, it would look stupid. And it's just kind of him. He's kind of an outdoorsy kind of guy. He's kind of got the more of the mountain man kind of look about him. You know, he's just who he is. It's fine. Look ridiculous on me. But I remember when he was a kid, my dad used to always get on him, because my dad was always, you know, got to get a haircut. Well, dad didn't like it. He didn't like it at all. He never made him cut it. But, of course, now my brother got a girlfriend, and all of a sudden his hair got short. Because he had to meet her parents. That changed a few things. So we have, I don't know, my video, apparently, let me know how the video is doing. I guess there's no way to communicate with me right now. I got no chat box going on here. I can't believe I did this morning. I didn't set up any kind of a chat system. If you can hear this, now what I might do is take this audio. I might actually put this audio on Rumble this morning. I might actually do it live and just monitor it so I can actually operate in the chat box while you guys are out there. Unfortunately, I won't be able to comment because, you know, it's going to be the audio from this thing. So regardless of all that, so this whole thing is so traumatic. Now, I guarantee you that there have been parents, black parents, who've had that conversation, and probably some of those black parents probably called their kids that very name, saying, "You will look like a thug. You're going to get your hair cut or you'll look like a thug." I guarantee you they have. You think that was traumatic and distraught, and if they felt like their parents were racist? You think they said it because they hated their child? Now, maybe there were better things to say. Maybe you could have said it in a better way or a different way. Because we're human beings and we don't say everything correctly. And you're going to get offended. I had a really interesting conversation with a guy from South America recently. We're standing around talking, waiting in line. We're just yakking away. And I said something. This guy went walking by and he was talking to somebody else beside us. And he said, who is that guy? I said, well, I don't know. He's the director of something around here. I'm not sure. He's some kind of big head honcho. And so the guy, he goes, yeah, so he probably wears a sombrero and stuff, you know. So he's like, kind of laughing. Like, yeah, that's what it is, yeah. I think he was under the impression that the word honcho, which I think most people, when they hear the word honcho, they assume that means something Mexican or South American or Spanish. Head honcho. So I looked up the term honcho. Now, maybe I had this conversation yesterday. I don't know if I did or not. I can't remember if I said anything about this yesterday, if I just looked it up. I think I did actually have this on the show yesterday. Looked up the word honcho, and it's a Japanese word. It started around the World War II era when they were talking about honchos. Honchos were I think I read this actually as I discovered this yesterday, on the show yesterday. It's interesting how we appropriate these words for different things, and all of a sudden they become this racist thing. It's just fascinating to me how that happens, or how it doesn't happen sometimes. So this whole thing going on with this stuff. Now let's go back to the whole thing with the FBI. I'm going to circle back, as you will. Pa-circle. I'm going to pa-circle back to this. Like Psaki always used to do. Psaki. We have the FBI in this trial. So we have this, all this stuff's happening with this whole Tucker Carlson thing and everything that's going on with it right now. The whole, how you will, the unraveling of the narrative that has been perpetrated upon us for over 2 years. And they, it's very delicate and fragile. They had to be very careful about it and keep on point with this whole thing because, you know, couldn't have it any other way. Well, the there's 40-some thousand hours of video for a one-hour event that they needed to have. So that means, let's say this whole thing lasted, you know, say there's 4 hours of video, of actual time event that they want to get basically for this whole thing. That means there's about 10,000 cameras there. Do the math on that. 10,000 cameras. Okay, let's say it's an 8-hour day. That's 5,000 cameras. 5,000 cameras. Think about that. That's every angle, every thought, every place you can imagine it's got a camera running on it somewhere. And they have to sift through all this stuff. So Tucker Carlson gets this information, gets all this stuff handed to him by Kevin McCarthy, who would not give it to CNN because they have committed other security breaches in the information they've gotten in the past. And he let the news media know that. You know, he was almost smiling when they asked him the question. He was smiling like a canary. Like, oh, I can't wait to answer this question for you. Because guess what? CNN, we have to now meet somewhere else. We have to go to another location because CNN disclosed where we went when we were, you know, being locked down. Now we can't use that room anymore. We have to change our, maybe have to change our strategy. I don't know. He was kind of sketchy about it. So he couldn't trust him. So gave it to the biggest, the most watched show on the planet right now, which is Tucker Carlson. Interestingly enough, Schumer apparently knows that because he said, millions of people will watch Tucker Carlson tonight. Yeah, because we trust him. There's a reason people that millions of people tune in to watch Tucker Carlson. Millions of people don't tune in to watch Keith Olbermann or Rachel Maddow. Just saying. In fact, more people tune in to watch Russell Brand on YouTube than any of those people. Anyway, so, which I really have a lot of respect for Russell. I don't agree with everything philosophically, but I do appreciate his attitude and his response. I appreciate where he's coming from. I appreciate the fact that he's very much an open thinker, a free thinker, and he encourages free thinking. Let the minds loose. Who let the minds out? So we have this whole thing going on with this J6 thing. Well, this has stirred the pot again. And of course, their narrative is falling apart. And it makes the whole January 6th commission that they dragged out in front of us and paraded around in front of us for 2 years, telling us this bloody armed insurrection that was going on. And guess what? They were lying to us. Oh, big shock. Big shock to us. The insurrection, as they call it, did not affect anybody in this country. Nobody. Didn't affect anybody. 9/11. They're equating it to 9/11. Well, I know, 3,000 people died on 9/11, but it's still, this is the biggest attack on our democracy since the Civil War. Well, there are plenty of other times that the Capitol has been attacked. I believe it was 1954. It might have been 64, but I think it was 1954 when some people from outside the country, I can't remember what country they were from, broke into the Capitol and killed a couple senators. Not to take over the country. They were just mad. There was another guy who rammed the Capitol wall that they put up after the 6/16 thing. January 6th thing. And they actually did kill two police officers on the spot, or killed one and injured another. I think one of them died later. Actually did die later from injuries he sustained that day. Officer Sicknick, I'm not even going to get into. I'm not even going to talk about that. It's just what they did with him is it's just too disgusting. The man was a hero, don't get me wrong. Anybody who's in law enforcement like that, who does their job properly, is a hero every day. Now, if you're a dirty cop, then you are the scum of the earth. Because you know better. It's one thing for somebody to make mistakes and do things wrong. But for somebody to be intentionally dirty with their job in a position of power like they have, that's there's no greater scum on the earth than that. Than to deliberately go against what you've sworn an oath to. That's just pathetic. Sickening. You're not just making mistakes now anymore. You're intentionally doing something. So I have so Tucker Carlson brings out this information, all this video that's out there, and they don't want it to be seen. Oh, we can't have this be seen. Oh, it's security sensitive. You can't let this stuff. You can't let anybody see this stuff. There's all kinds of top secret security sensitive stuff. We only can put out there what the J6 Commission produced. That's the only thing that's safe. In fact, there are things even in that video that. Interestingly enough, when Kevin McCarthy went to the Capitol Police and said, here's the video that Tucker Carlson wants to put out tonight. Is this going to be okay? Do you see anything here that we need to make corrections on? Anything that's sensitive security? The comment back from the Capitol Police was, well, it's interesting. The J6 Commission never asked us about any video they put out. They never even asked them about security issues. Hey, they're going to put this video out. Is it okay? Let's go over this and make sure. They never even talked. They never consulted them one bit. They don't care about security. They have no interest in that at all. So in the process of all this, interestingly enough, it shows the QAnon shaman. Nobody knows how he got in. This is still kind of interesting to me. How did he actually get in? Now, I saw some video early on of him standing in a foyer waiting. There was like two Capitol Police officers in front of him. There was him and a couple other guys standing there. And he's kind of standing there, just kind of looking around, doing this weird thing with his. He wasn't really looking at anybody. He's just kind of looking around, doing this weird thing. And kind of bouncing back and forth. And they weren't being violent. They were just standing there. And then the cops basically said, okay, you can come in. And they started escorting him around. So they've got to know the area that where they came in. So they, as they escort him around all over the place. Now, here's a little something I did not understand. Now, this was a joint session of the Senate and the Congress. So this was the Senate and the House having a joint session. Now, my understanding is the area where you see the guys come into and where the shaman, this guy, Jason, whatever his name is, actually was, he actually spoke, he said a prayer for the police officers actually up there. That area was actually the Senate chamber. The Senate chamber is very small. There's only 100 people in the Senate. So it's a much smaller group of people. The House is more than twice that size. So it's the other side. And I don't know how many of you have been to the Capitol. There's like the Capitol Hill building, Capitol building, and then on one side it has the Senate, and the other side has the House, and the way it's set up in the middle is the rotunda. And when the flag is up, I think on one side that means they're in session. When the flag is up on the other side, I think it's on. They have that whole thing set up so that you know when they're in session, when they're not, even from the outside of the building. My understanding is that there were no rioters, no protesters actually got into the House side. It was only on the Senate side they got into. Now, I thought when they had a joint session that they had the House and the Senate representatives, they were all supposed to be in the House chambers. Now, of course, now Chuck Schumer, the insurrectionists were 30 feet from me at one point. And they got my detail, told me to get away. He has a detail, told him to get away. You need to run for your lives because you need to be afraid now because they're going to kill you. Oh, really? That's what they're going to do. Yeah. With their flagpoles and water bottles. That's an armed insurrection now. Flagpoles and water bottles are considered weapons. And that is considered an armed insurrection. Those were the arms that they had. water bottles and flagpoles. Now, some people had some mace and that kind of stuff, you know, over-the-counter type stuff. I don't know. There were some thugs there. Don't get me wrong. There were some people there who intended to do some bad things. My question is, who are these people and where did they come from and who stirred them up and who gave them these ideas, Ray Epps? That's what I want to know. Because here again, we find out that Ray Epps was lying to the J6 Commission and nobody cares. Oh, why are you picking on this poor schmuck? He's just, I don't know who he is, but, you know, just leave him alone. He's on your side. Well, then why are you defending him if he's on our side? What's going on here? Because you're going after every grandma that walked through the open doors, walked around and said, oh, hey, look at this. Oh, you're going to jail. Oh, but Ray Epps, he gets a free pass. Just some poor schmuck who just happened to be standing around in a red hat talking to people, telling them to storm the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. Oh, poor schmuck. He just happened to say that. Whoops. Let him go. Let him live his life. Yeah, that's their attitude towards everybody else. All the innocent people who just happen to be walking around, taking pictures and selfies, taking a tour. So this happens. So now we got all this video out there, and they know they can't hide anymore because this is stuff. This all, oh boy, here we go. The whole narrative about Josh Hawley being a coward and running off as soon as the insurrectionists that he stirred up, and these are his people, and he's running away from them because he's so scared. And now we come to find out he's one of the last people out of the room. Now Chuck Schumer says he was 30 feet from these people. Well, that doesn't really mean that much, really. You can be 30 feet from somebody and have two walls between you or have two floors between you. Yeah, I was down in the basement, two floors down. They were 30 feet away from me on top, they were straight up. Because they weren't on the next floor, but they were the next floor up, and they were 30 feet away. See what I'm getting at here? That's how ridiculous. You don't know that kind of a statement. Someone shouted out, get him. He didn't hear it. Someone told him they said that. He didn't hear that. Either he's hard of hearing or somebody 30 feet away from me who shouts out, get him. I'm probably going to hear that. Even if I'm hard of hearing, I'm probably going to hear that if they're yelling it 30 feet away. But apparently he didn't hear it. His detail did. Somebody in his detail. Or somebody told him later that somebody said that. Okay. Kind of like somebody banging on the door saying, where is she? Where is she? They were coming to kill me. I got murdered by the Capitol Police looking for me to take me away to the detail, to the place wherever they take them. They need to take them away, that's for sure. These people are just incredulous. They had this whole thing going on. So Tucker brings out on Monday night, he brings out this whole video, all this stuff, and he depicts the whole situation as not as ridiculous as what they were trying to explain. Perfectly within his rights to argue that point. And all of a sudden they come out and say, this is the most shameful thing that's ever been put on cable news. This is disgusting and needs to be corrected. And Richard Murdoch, you need to stop him from doing it. Now, I believe, unfortunately, that the powers that be have slowed him down. Because the next couple of nights, he didn't really do a whole lot more. He's still arguing his point, and he played the speech that Schumer brought up and complained about it, but we didn't really hear too much or see too much more video this week, other than that first part. Now, maybe we're going to see more. But this has stirred up a whole hornet's nest now with the people who've gone through trials and were unable to get this information. They wanted to get this information because it's exculpatory, is what they call it. It exonerates people because they can prove what they did that day instead of just having the police reports, which Mitch McConnell still just, that's all he listens to. Well, the police have told me that it was very different than what Tucker Carlson was depicting. We saw the video, Mitch. play us some more video. And not the produced video that has a camera at a low angle rustling around in a crowd. And you got 3-second clips of each of these little events where all this stuff's happening. And it makes it look like it's an action movie. Let's see the entire context of the video in one scene from one camera. We'll look at one camera angle for 5 minutes and another camera angle for 5 minutes and see if it all looks that bad. Because it doesn't. When you're cutting from one scene to the next, one take, one visual point, paradigm, if you will, from one place to another, and you take all that whole one-minute event from 5 different angles, and you cut back and forth from each one for 10 minutes, it makes the whole thing look like it was a terrible, terrible thing for all this time going on. When in actuality, in reality, it was not at all. That's what they'd have you believe. So, again, folks, this has stirred up a hornet's nest. So now this the shaman, his lawyer has come out and basically said, now he's because he pled for this, he pled this deal, he has no recourse except for there is a term that they can go back and say this was unjustly something. There was Robert Gouveia. Watch his show from yesterday about this segment. I might possibly be able to put a link below in the Rumble video, and see if we can actually go and listen to what he says about it, because he does have one chance of getting some recourse for a regress on this, but I don't. It's going to be really hard to get that, in my opinion. So he's going to work on that, I think. That's the question, and his lawyer didn't say anything about going after them and going back over this stuff. But we'll see how that happens. We'll see how it works. So we have that going on, and then at the same time, we have a whole bunch of other guys in trial right now. This is stirring up more notice about what's going on with them. Well, what happens is the FBI, Nicole Miller. I'm gonna say her name. An FBI agent, Nicole Miller. She gets up and she testifies and she says, we had these messages and this is what happened between our messages and this is what we said. And of course, anytime you bring up, they have this system. It's kind of like Slack. It's kind of like there's some different collaboration message systems that are out there that people use in business. And this is one that what the FBI uses is kind of like a system like that, where they can kind of communicate back and forth, and they can be put into little departments and they can communicate and share files within that little department. It's kind of like, I've used Slack before, and it's very similar to what they're describing with that. So what they've done is they've taken this program, and she had these communications with different individuals within this little group. And so she mentions this. Well, then anytime you bring up something like that, it opens up this area of, oh, well, we need to see all the messages. So she was ready for it. She said, yes, I have them here on a thumb drive. She gave them to him on a thumb drive. She had him in some kind of a spreadsheet, like an Excel spreadsheet type thing, with all the messages line by line and the time and all, time dates and all that stuff was all in there. Now, that right there is a little bit sketchy, because you can actually, those kinds of mess, you can put anything in a spreadsheet. You could create a spreadsheet and it wouldn't, that can be doctored very easily. I know people who do logbooks. I know pilots who do logbooks. You can very easily forge that stuff, very easily. And it's very hard to investigate that kind of thing and find out whether it's real or not. It's just, you can just say, well, I did this and I did that. I mean, you can look into flight records. Most people are not going to dig down that far unless it's an NTSB investigation, because something happens. Then they're going to go back and say, oh, this guy never flew any of these hours. This has happened before in aviation. There've been a few people caught when they look back into their past and they find out, oh, yeah, this guy never flew at all. Or didn't fly near as many hours as he said he had. Now, in my logbook, I've got way more hours than I said I flew, because I never logged anything. I stopped logging. Once it got over 10,000 hours, it's like, that's ridiculous. I'll just start giving thousands of hours away to people at that point. So you get into the situation where she's real confident. She hands this guy this thumb drive that has like 33 lines all put in the spreadsheet of the communications that she had with her peers. Well, she screwed up in a big way. What she did, she didn't just give a snapshot of that spreadsheet. She gave him the spreadsheet. Now, I don't know if you've ever worked with spreadsheets or not, whether you're working with numbers in Apple or whether you're working with, you know, a Microsoft Excel, whatever you're working with. You can hide cells. So she took the transcripts from this communication that she was having with these individuals over the course of time, from date A to date B or whatever it was. She put them all in the spreadsheet. There was a whole lot more communication than what she told them about. And then she pushed hide these cells. So it bumped it down to only the 30-some lines or whatever that was that she wanted to have the communication be seen. And she put them on the thumb drive and she gave them to the lawyer. Somebody at that law firm deserves a medal. Because what happened was, they clicked on show hidden cells because they were all still there. And a whole bunch of information pops up. All of the text messages that they were talking about, all the things that they were doing to go after these people, the way they were setting them up, surveilling them, listening in on their phone conversations. It is a bombshell, folks. It is worse, in my opinion. It's as bad, if not worse, than what happened with Peter Strzok. In my opinion, I think it's worse simply because these individuals are just common citizens that they are taking advantage of. It is disgusting. Every single one of them should be put in prison. All of them. They should certainly, most certainly be fired. They shouldn't be working another day. She really messed up. I mean, in a good way for us. Unfortunately, her nefarious activity, not so good. Not so good. Yeah. So we'll see how this works out for her and for the trial. It was so bad that the defense actually put in a request to dismiss the whole case with prejudice. In other words, it can't come back. You can't use it again. You can't try this guy again. You have so violated his rights and so you've done so much wrong in this situation that you are not allowed to go forward with this. Too bad. Too bad for her. It is a disgusting. It's disgusting what they did. And I would point you to go see the Robert Gavea video that he has on this that was posted yesterday. Now, he'll have another show today probably, but the Thursday, March 9th show is well worth watching because he goes through the whole thing very well. Makes it very clear that these people, absolutely disgusting in what they did. But once again, we find that for this to happen once is one thing. But this seems to be a cultural issue among the FBI and the top notch head honchos over there at the FBI. People at the top of the piggy pile. They've got problems. They've got issues, in my opinion. So, as we move forward in all of this, I think I need to add something here. I need to add an audio source. Let's see, the audio output capture. Let's just do that. Add existing. It's not even on there. I'm not going to do that. I don't know if it'll let me. It's not going to let me do it. Oh, well, you guys might not be able to hear me after I go. So, folks, Shabbat Shalom. God bless. Have a great weekend. Pray for our nation. Take care. See you later.